Peter, good morning.
Morning, Annie.
Thanks so much for joining us. Now, first off, is the acting police commissioner right to say that there is an overrepresentation of African youth offenders in criminal activity in Melbourne in comparison to other groups?
Statistically, yes, but that's quite to be expected because the Sudanese were a fairly recently arrived group in Australia. There used to be a very high overrepresentation of Italians and Greeks and Vietnamese Eastern Europeans. So any new cultural group arriving in Australia is going to be overrepresented in criminal activity for a period of time. Yes, he's accurate in saying that. But on the other hand, it's a complete media beat-up because it's not dramatically significant. It's not like the Prime Minister has to intervene and tell the Victorian Premier to get the state in order in terms of law and order, because overall, in the last 7 years, juvenile crime has been going down dramatically in Victoria.
Mm.
And if you ask the general population that in Victoria, 99% would say that's not true. I've read it in the Herald Sun, different stories, and I've seen it on 7, 9 and 10.
Mm.
Juvenile crime's going down in Victoria. There's a small group, around about 50, young Sudanese men who are committing some violent crimes. They're not necessarily organised in gangs. I think it was only the media being pressing the police minister and the deputy commissioner. They said, well, call it gang activity because sometimes the group, but a lot of these kids are at school. They're still at high school.
Mm.
And the main challenge is to keep them at high school.
Yeah.
Get them to finish high school. Get them to get into further education, which most of the young Sudanese are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them, 90%, 95%.
Mm.
You know, so, but the problem is this focus on Africans is really drawing on our dark past, if you like, the White Australia policy. There's still remnants of that. Media commentators are sensationalising it. Right-wing extremists, neo-Nazi groups are also manipulating it.
Mm.
So intelligent people who listen to your radio station, supported by the universities in Sydney, would be more reflective about the situation and not believe what commercial media and vested interest groups might be putting forward.
Mm. And you just mentioned previously that it was a bit unnecessary for the Prime Minister to weigh in. So is this an issue of African gang crime an issue of policy, as the Prime Minister stated?
Is it a matter of what policy?
Is it an issue of policy? So is there something wrong with the policies that the current government has?
No, not at all. The Prime Minister's come in because it started the new year. There's a state election in Victoria. Prime Minister's come in to give Matthew Guy, the leader of the Liberal opposition, a bit of a kickstart in January in terms of the election in Victoria, which will be held in October and November. Now, the Liberal opposition in Victoria are running on a law and order policy because they're desperate. That, you know, any political leader in opposition or in government who runs on law and order is a sign of a desperate politician.
Mm-hmm.
So the Prime Minister's given him a kickstart, and it's inappropriate because, you know, federal issues, if the Prime Minister's really concerned about Sudanese young people, he'd be looking at things like better language schools, because I know Sudanese. I haven't worked in the university all my life. I'm a criminologist who's actually worked with criminals for 40 years, and I've worked with young offenders for 40 years. And I know a lot of young Sudanese men, several of them, but none of them have committed any crimes. They're all at university. They're trying to get into work. One or two of them are wanting to join the police force. They're working in community corrections. You know, Sudanese young people, like any new migrant group, face the following: language barriers, struggle for stable housing, trying to get into employment, cultural stress because they're living in a new culture. They face discrimination, particularly because of this media beat-up, and that makes it very difficult for them to move into employment. My young friends who study at university a couple of years ago, they'd go to a normal pub or nightclub, and they would never be let in. And they were told they didn't have the right clothing on. But they were smarter dressed than everyone else. But they weren't allowed in because they were African.
Mm-hmm.
And there's terrible discrimination that goes on in our community. And this beat up over criminal gangs is increasing the discrimination. But also keep in mind that the Sudanese, many have come to Australia and they've had a lot of pre-arrival trauma. I mean, South Sudan is still in a state of civil war. Some of these young men and young women came to Australia with their families, if they were lucky. Many of them came as unattached minors. They walked 3,000 or 4,000 kilometres. They spent 3 or 4 years in a refugee camp in Uganda. So they've got a lot of trauma, some of them. Mm-hmm. And despite that, the majority of them are integrated very successfully into Australian society.
Mm.
But they've also had family fragmentation, you know, along the way. Many of their fathers and uncles were killed in the Civil War. They don't know their fathers, some of them. So you have to actually look at the context of what's happening in reality. But the overall context in Victoria, to go back to your question, it's not a major policy problem in Victoria. Victoria's got, the crime problem is, juvenile crime's going down in Victoria, and generally crime has been decreasing in Victoria over the last 5 years. So it's not an out-of-control issue. Quite the contrary. There's a lot of issues, a lot of resources being addressed to reintegrate new migrant groups, and focusing on this particular group, an African group, I think is a very discriminatory practice both by the media and by some of the politicians.
Mm. Now, if you've just tuned into The Daily, we're speaking with Adjunct Professor Peter Norden about the mounting controversy surrounding African gang violence in suburban Melbourne. Peter, you just mentioned that the policy actually seems to be working since juvenile crime rates are going down. So would you say on that, do you think that the law and order policy approaches actually work in curbing youth offending?
No. Law and order policies never deal with complex social problems.
Mm.
If you want to deal with complex social problems, you don't bring the resources of the criminal justice system as the first plank, namely the police, the courts and the prisons. What you have to do is bring about resources to bring about community cohesion. Look at the example in the United States and how foolish they've been for the last 30 or 40 years. Essentially, in a place that's economically strong, they're essentially warehouse 2 million minority groups, mostly young men, 20 to 30, in prisons. They've got 2.5 million people in prison. Now, that has been an enormous cost to their community socially and financially. To return back to Australia, I mean, our prison population in Australia has been going up at 4 times the rate of the national population for 20 years. And yet the ordinary person in the street, not your intelligent listeners, would say that the courts are light on crime.
Mm.
Quite the opposite, because, as I said, 4 times the increase in the prison population throughout the country compared to the state population. Now, the consequences of that is that the money that's really needed in areas like health, education, transport, housing, the arts and so on is being drained from the budgets of the state and territory governments around Australia to build, particularly in New South Wales, but to build and to operate new prisons. So the issue, what do you do when you've got a social problem of this sort, a new migrant group? They come every 10 or 20 years and it's been happening in Australia for over 200 years.
Mm.
What you have to do is make sure that people are supported to be integrated. So you want to have livable and affordable communities. You've got to have good schools in the socially disadvantaged areas so that young people growing up in those areas have got an opportunity for further training and education, that they get access to university courses, that they're assisted through the university, not just left on their own, and that they then have a transition to full participation in Australian society. That's the way to create a safe and cohesive community. It's only as a very last resort that you've got to bring in the troops, if you like, the police. the riot squads. Mm. So parliamentarians, including the Victorian opposition, by their saying that law and order is their number one agenda leading into the next election, whilst we have a lowering crime rate and a substantially lowering crime rate amongst juvenile offenders, it's a sign of a lack of public policy in their thinking as they're heading towards the election later in Victoria. So quite the contrary to what you suggest. Mm,
yeah. Now, just as a final point, you work with youth in Melbourne. So what do you think, what steps do you think would be effective in curbing offending behaviour?
Well, look, I'm not denying there's a small group, about 50 Sudanese young people. So that's a manageable issue. When 30 years ago, when I faced this issue with some similar groups in the Vietnamese community, through a program that Brosnan Centre and Jesuit Social Services, which I started back in 1977, 41 years ago, we employed Vietnamese youth workers, people who understood that culture. But we didn't give these young people half an hour a week or 1 hour a week. Sometimes we'd have a worker almost assigned to someone almost full time.
Wow.
You know, if you're in a critical situation, seeing a social worker or a youth worker or a counsellor 1 hour a week is ridiculous.
Mm.
I mean, you really need someone to have the skills to win the confidence of that young person. It means spending time with them, involved in activities, knowing their family situation, knowing their peers. You know, we have the skills to do that. The people I've employed over the last 40 years have been doing that for decades.
Mm.
And the same solution would apply with respect to the small group of Sudanese people in Victoria. You've got to have not necessarily Sudanese youth workers, but people who understand that culture, who've got time and respect to actually engage these young people, who recognise and understand something of the pre-arrival trauma that some of them might have or the family fragmentation that's going on, and that they can actually, you know, walk with that young person over a period of time, win their confidence and open doorways for them. Particularly through school and into employment. That's the way towards social cohesion and community safety in Australia.
Right. Well, Peter, thank you so much for joining us and giving us your valuable insight into this issue.
Good, Annie. Pleased to
Thank
help.
You.